afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. John Schrader, Trespassing Aloud. Here, look, I even have a cup. If you're confused on the allowed part, A-L-O-U-D, understand there's only one A and one L in my allowed. If I try to read your mind or understand your brain, that's the psychology minor in me. Honestly, I did not come up with those. That was a brilliant lady, Emily Schuster, my producer, she's really my common sense person, kind of like my wife. She's kind of my common sense. She's the one that when I start going into way crazy, silly tangents, she slowly kind of reels me in. Went outside today to do the walk and realized at 19 degrees with a lot of wind, I think I'm going to stay inside today. And why don't we spend part of the day talking about the very beginning? I want you to believe that you quite honestly can be in complete and total control of your life. What do you mean by complete and total control of my life? Do you realize that when you are working for someone, another company, you're punching a clock or you're waking up at 7 o'clock to be there at 8 o'clock and then you get off at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock or 7 o'clock? Do you realize that during those 8 to 10 hours, as much as you want to be in control of your life, you really kind of have to answer to someone? It occurred to me during my sabbatical a few years ago that when you are working for someone else, a third of your day, okay, because you're probably sleeping 6 to 8 hours, you might have 4 to 6 hours after your commute to kind of get to do what you want to do. For those 8 to 10 hours that you're working for the man or the woman, there's a lot of really amazing female business ladies out there. You do not have the complete control that at a moment's notice, if something exciting comes into your mind and you want to do it then, you can't necessarily do that. Yes, owning your own business is going to require a few things. But one of the things I feel many people fail to recognize who don't own their own business is how much control you do not have of your life. 40, 50, 60 hours a week. Yeah, you're kind of existing, but you're existing in a bubble that says you can't go beyond this part. If you have a sudden eureka moment and you want to go out and you want to test this theory and you need 4 or 5 hours or you need to leave the city for a while, or you got to ask permission. You got to knock on your boss's door. Hey, boss, by the way, got a good young man that we wanted to go do some snorkeling with centipedes. We want to go snorkeling at Crystal River with manatees next week, okay? If you ever got to snorkel with manatees, especially during the birthing season in Florida, it's pretty cool. You are literally right next to these humongous animals, and they have just had their babies recently, and they just want to come up, and they just want to rub noses with you. Called the one gentleman, hey, you know, we got one more space. Gosh, I would love to come, but I can't make it. I've got to finish some work on this golf course with not this golf course, but that golf course. Long story short, one of the things you'll find about business owners, why they're feeling usually a little bit empowered, is because every single day they have control of their life. In other words, if I'm supposed to go visit somebody that day, and then somebody calls me and says, hey, do you want to do this? And I can either, one, change the appointment, or two, if I've got good, solid employees, hell, I can go to my place. Rule number two or three or four of why should you own your own business is because you have 24 hours of complete control of your day. Let that sink in a little bit. Next time you want to do something so bad, but you have to ask permission, and because it's the fourth time that week, you're pretty sure you don't get to do it. One of the advantages of owning your own business, okay? When did I realize that I was entrepreneurial? Let's go there first. The age of five. We are at a family reunion. The Scheller family reunion. You're going to hear me talk a lot about the Schellers. What a great family they were. They knew how to have a lot of fun. So at the age of five, somebody heard that I had been singing the song, You Are My Sunshine, okay? And yeah, I sang it because my dad sang it to my mom, and I kind of like, you are my sunshine, my only sun. Okay, that's all I'm going to sing because you heard me sing a lot yesterday. At the age of five, I find myself on a picnic table at the park, surrounded by a whole bunch of my relatives, singing You Are My Sunshine. Maybe two or three verses, I can't remember. But sure enough, and I don't know who started this, but the next thing I knew, there was a cup on the table, and people started putting money in the cup. Okay, it wasn't 20s and 10s and 50s. It was probably quarters, dimes, and maybe an occasional dollar bill. I'm just singing on a table. Next thing I know, I got a cup full of money, 5 years old. Man, I think I love this singing career, okay? Here's the funny part, the sad part. Here is the disastrous moment. So my mother decides, hey, we're going to put this money, because I don't want you to lose it, we're going to put this money in the cooler, and the cooler, so tonight when we get home, you can have your money. I didn't even count it yet. Didn't need to. I was just too darn excited about it. I knew I now had a singing career. Get home that night. Hey, Mom. Hey, look in that cooler so I can get my money. And sure enough, as my mother opens the cooler, guess what wasn't there? The cup with my first royalties of my singing career was gone. Every bit of it. There wasn't even a couple pennies at the bottom under the ice. Easy come, easy go. All right. I will someday, after he's gone and passed away, I'll tell you my theory of who I think took it. But easy come, easy go. My next encounter, which is a little strange, going to a Catholic grade school, I had somehow convinced certain individuals in my fifth grade class that they shouldn't be cussing at recess. To the point where I don't know how I did it, and maybe this is part of the persuasion that I've always had, but I had this rule. If you said this word, it was a nickel, this word was a dime, and this word was a quarter. And for a short period of time, I was making money by convincing people that if you cuss and you paid me money, it's kind of like going to confession. They used to call me in grade school Father John because, yeah, I just kind of, you know, was one of those kind of kids that you shouldn't say bad things, you know, because my parents told me I shouldn't. My brother told me I shouldn't. And so, again, entrepreneurially, I was making money, getting money from some of my classmates. Was it enough to go to college on? No, it wasn't. Was it enough to start a new lawn mowing business? No, it wasn't. But I learned very early on in life that I liked making money and I liked trying to figure out ways to do it. Got a little older, started mowing yards in the neighborhood, okay? I think $7 for the one yard and $6 or $8 for the other yard. And after about 4 or 5 yards, I was bringing some bucks. It was their lawnmower, their gas. I had no liability insurance. All I had to do was show up, start the lawnmower, cut the grass, do a little trimming. College came, and suddenly I was at that time in my life where, you know, I've got to figure out what the heck am I going to do with my life. At some point, I'm still living at home, which was kind of nice. And back then, college wasn't terribly out of control expensive. And yes, I did join a fraternity. That cost a little bit of money. But all through that time, I began thinking, okay, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? One of the things I'm going to try to do in this podcast, I hope you understand, I'm going to try to work with real numbers. You hear me talk a lot about Dave Ramsey, and Dave Ramsey, I listen to him a lot because when I was always in my truck going from one job to the next or whatever, Dave Ramsey was always on in the afternoon. So when you hear me talk about the types of ideas that Dave Ramsey really pushed, why not? He sounds like a pretty smart guy. I mean, we're about the same age. He's in a much different business than I am, but his whole theory about have as little debt as possible, just don't spend money on stupid things, it kind of made sense to me. In fact, I tell people that really, I think me and Dave had the same theory on about 95% of his ideas. And so let's just follow some of them. Starting my business, many, many people have asked, so how in the world did you decide when you were getting out of college with a degree in communications and a minor in psychology, what in the world made you go out and start pushing lawnmowers around Evansville, Indiana? If you haven't heard this story, here's the quick and easy. I was doing it part-time for a couple years with my friend who eventually became my attorney, and you'll hear the story on Mr. Helfrich. So every Wednesday, when I wasn't working for Dye Brothers Construction, which I was working for them during college as a yard bird, a few hours a week, every Wednesday I got to work with this gentleman, and we were mowing a condominium complex in Evansville, Woodland Condominium. Never heard of it before, never seen it before. It was tucked back in this little cove by the Evansville Country Club, one of the renowned golf courses in the city. And as I was mowing this property every Wednesday, and then we would jump over from Woodland Condominiums to Northampton Condominiums, Guthrie May, a major developer in Evansville, I just wonder, what is he making every Wednesday that we're cutting? I became kind of those individuals that I'm never really afraid to ask the question of anyone. Because there's a wise man that once said, all they can do is say, no, John, I'm not going to give you the answer, right? But while I'm doing this Wednesday gig, in making more money per hour than I'm working at the construction company, I find out one day how much they are getting gross for mowing that property and the other property. It was a lot of money. I thought, man, if he can make this much money at this place just pushing a couple lawnmowers, running around with a weed eater, and occasionally throwing this loud blower on my back, I didn't really have a real plan of what I wanted to do after college. I knew there was going to be a number of different jobs out there I could go after. But I don't know, maybe this entrepreneurship, maybe this owning my own business, maybe this made some sense. I mean, you know, I made money singing on the table. I made money cutting grass around Evansville. I even babysat a couple times for some people, you know, in my neighborhood. It was more about the food I could eat versus necessarily how much they were paying. I think back then it was $2 an hour, $1.50. I could eat a lot more than just $2 an hour. But I remember going to the owner of this mowing maintenance business and saying, hey, in about 4 to 6 weeks, I'm going to be graduating. And when I do, there's a very good chance I'm probably going to be moving on. Because by that time, I was now working for this company full time because he made me a really good deal. And so I was now mowing this piece of property throughout the entire year, and the other properties that he was doing. Mostly commercial, we had one day of residential. But he comes to me and says this: have you ever thought, John, about owning your own business? And I'm like, well, I don't know. Why do you think I would want to own my own business? He says, well, you just seem like the kind of person, yeah, I think you can handle it. Long story short, we were making in one day mowing these two properties, grossing, okay? But it didn't take a math genius to just deduct a little bit of money here and a little bit of money there. It didn't take long to realize that between $700 and $800 was being made by two guys pushing lawnmowers around a condominium complex in one day. It may have been a 10-hour day, you know, depending on how much the grass was growing, but 1983, $800 a day gross, minus $22 in gasoline, minus what it's going to take if I pay another person to help me. Started asking some of my fraternity friends, hey, this engineering job you're going after, this accounting job you're going after, this marketing job you're going after, what are you making a week? Any idea what you're going to be starting out at, you know? Kept hearing these numbers like, I'm going to be at about $400 a week. By about $450, $500, a couple benefits. Didn't take long to realize that in one day, I was going to be making potentially as much as many of them were going to be making in a week. The research that I did, the amount of time I spent on, okay, on average, how much gas per that day is costing, how often do I have to change a lawnmower blade, how often, and if I pay a person X number of dollars an hour for 10, that wasn't all of it though. There was another huge incentive. I was mowing a property that housed some of the biggest and best business owners in the city of Evansville. I was spending 8 to 10 hours in an area where these people in this condominium complex at that time was probably the nicest condominium complex in the entire city. So I'm going to be this close to men and women who know how to make money in a business. I think you've heard me talk a little bit about John Newhouse, owned Ski Double Cola. So my first thought was, not only can I make some money here, I just might be able to gain some incredible insight on how to run a business. I'll bet you one of these guys, I could show them my business plan, okay? And I'll bet you they have more quality information than my local banker, than my local brother-in-law, than my local family who's never owned a business in their life. Don't get me wrong. When I told my parents as I was graduating college, I think I'm going to start a mowing business, because back then there wasn't really much heard about starting a mowing business. There were some eyes rolling. There were some those, yeah, John, if you really think you know, because you can always, if it doesn't work out, you can always go work for somebody, right? When you decide to start your own business, understand that formula I keep telling you about. That formula that for me worked almost every single time. Do I want to work hard? I really hope so. Why do I want to work hard at something? Because I am doing something I love, the passion. I wanted to be outside. I loved being in Mother Nature. I loved every day coming outside and spending the entire day outside. I didn't really do well with those little odd jobs I did inside. Learn that easy. If you do not want to work hard at something to be successful at, I am not the person you need to be talking to. If you think that lottery ticket you keep buying every week is going to be that perfect formula for your life, good luck. I don't want to work hard, but I want everything. If you've got that philosophy, there's obviously somebody out there that you could probably go to their website, and for a certain amount of money, they're going to tell you how you can do that. If you find it, just send it to me. I'm just kind of curious. Working hard at something you love doing doesn't feel like work. I was in a Servants Incorporated operation one time where I think I told you I'm basically taking pieces of cardboard and I'm gluing them, and an 8-hour day felt like about a 24-hour day. Find your passion. Figure out what it is that you do that you can do for 12, 15, 20 hours, and all you just can't wait to get up the next morning to do it again. It's not going to happen immediately. Yes, you're going to have to play with those God-given talents that you have. But for me, staying physically active throughout the day was not only not going to hurt my body, it was going to continue to help me. To have a body that at the age of 64, I still like going out every day and doing a few hours of really active work because my body is still feeling pretty young. I don't know if that's genetics. I don't know if that's just something that is working within me. How much of that is mental? How much of that is physical? But starting your own business, as I've told you before, is you've got to understand and know a little bit about math, okay? Every time I ask somebody, hey, what school do you go to? Second question, what's your favorite subject? If I get math within the top two or three, I am patting them on the back. You know what? Great. That math, if you decide you want to be your own boss someday, that math is going to really come in handy. You hear me talk about confidence, patience, and respect. And the confidence I had in taking the $3,000 that I had saved up during college, and I know that probably sounds a little bit bizarre. I came out of college with $3,000, no debt. Part of it I lived at home, part of it I had a job, part of it I was just kind of, you know, not really stupid with money. I still took some vacations. I still had a lot of fun. But having the ability to take $3,000 as a down payment on this business that I knew one day, not every day, but at least on one day, I could make more money in 10 hours than a lot of my friends were making in an entire week. Yeah, there were customers we had that were apartment complexes or businesses that the return on investment wasn't quite as good, but every single one of them were super profitable because we kind of had a simple plan. I don't want to get a whole lot into gross and net today. We will, and please understand there's a huge difference there. But once again, I could start dreaming exponentially at the age of 25, 26, because I understood that if I could do this with one lawnmower or two lawnmowers, what could I do with 10 lawnmowers? What can I do with 15 or 20 employees who I could treat with respect, that they could help me along? Then who knows, someday I could help them maybe start their own business. But one of the big things that I found in business owners who were making good money on some things, there were two types. The ones I knew probably the best were the ones that were very similar to me. They started out with nearly nothing. Their entire office for me was a pickup truck, two lawnmowers, a weed eater, a blower, and maybe a tarp to cover up the lawnmowers. They started out so small that if all went wrong, they weren't going to be in a lot of debt. What's frugal? You hear, you look on the computer and you look at some of these people that are extremely wealthy, extremely successful, and you see the word frugal. Frugal, why do you need to be frugal if your business is doing well? Is my business every year going to do as well as the year before? If I've got a 12, 15, 25% net profit, am I 100% sure every year that's going to happen? No, absolutely not. I can tell you the part about the one year when, man, we were just kicking butt. I mean, now we had two or three crews. I mean, we're mowing humongous apartment complexes. We are now using equipment that's a little bit bigger and better than lawnmowers. And guess what happened? June, drought time, drought occurred. A drought. The grass was no longer growing anywhere, southern Indiana. John, we don't need you this week because our grass is all dead. John, we won't need you next week because our grass is all dead. You know, I really wasn't planning on a drought the summer of 1992, 93. Wasn't really planning on that drought. Hey, you know what? I know you like our service and we really like you guys. What in the world can we come and do for you? Can we paint some property of yours? Can we trim your bushes, your shrubs? Give me something my company can come and do for you. You don't even have to pay us the same amount, but I would really like to be able to do some things at your business that will allow my company to keep growing. Too often we have a couple good years and we go out and we just spend money like it's always going to be that way. It's not the case. Here's an example of being frugal. and this was just me personally, but it's how when you're frugal, you'll be surprised at what money's left over. Call it crazy, but I was in Rural King a lot back in those days, picking up something here, picking up something there. And back then, you could buy a Coke for a quarter, okay? And you could eat their popcorn for free. Okay, I love popcorn. My family's done popcorn all our lives. For 25 cents, my lunch was complete. 25 cents for the Coke, a couple bags of popcorn, talking to the girl behind the cash register. It was a nice lunch. Let me see if I can find my numbers here. 25 cents for lunch versus $7 for a Happy Meal, okay? Just one example of being frugal. 25 cents versus a Happy Meal for $7. Let's say over the course of several years, I did that 500 times. One lunch cost me $125, 500 lunches. The other, the $7 Happy Meal, I think we're talking $3,500. What am I going to do with my $3,475 that I have now saved? I'm still getting the same satisfaction. I'm still full. I'm still happy because actually I think I like popcorn even better than a Big Mac. When you find things that you can be frugal with, and don't get me wrong, I wasn't going out every day saying, hey, you guys want a great meal, go into Rural King and I'm telling you, 25 cents and you'll be full by aisle 9. You'll be full, you really will. Here was another example. A lot of people who were in business and they thought they were doing pretty darn good and they had a couple good years and they had some of that extra money in the bank, you know, and again, this is me and my friend Dave, we agree on this. They felt like they had to go out and prove to the world that my business of growing llamas and selling them to South America, I don't care whatever your business is, I've got to show everybody how well I'm doing. So I want to buy that very nice, brand new, expensive truck. Contractor, okay, I'm now a building contractor. You know, I've been driving around in this older pickup truck. I now need to buy that really nice pickup truck that I can drive in and everyone says, man, John must be doing well. He's got that brand new pickup truck. Here's some fun numbers. What if instead of me buying that $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 pickup truck, because as people will tell you, I could get around just as easily in my $10,000 truck. I actually did buy one $10,000 truck that was new. What if I took that payment that I would have paid for the $50,000 or $60,000 truck? What if I took that payment instead and I took that $50,000 or $40,000? What if I put that into a piece of equipment that once I now realize I wanted to get into the landscaping business, what if I bought that piece of equipment that I could charge, let's just say $250 an hour. Okay? I don't necessarily need to go to the bank to get a loan for it because instead of buying that expensive, cool, clean, neat pickup truck that all I would worry about was, when am I going to get a scratch on it, right? No. I now buy a piece of equipment and I find a good guy that knows how to operate it and now I'm able to build water gardens and waterfalls. I'm now able to go out there and do landscaping on a scale that's a little bit more than just a shovel and a rake and, you know, a broom. if I can now charge on average $250 to $300 an hour for this piece of equipment that isn't my nice truck that I look really good in 10 hours, that's about $2,500, right? That thing's going 100 hours because I'm selling the right products to the right people who have the money to pay for it. That pretty truck that was costing me $300 or $400 a month that really didn't do anything for me but build my ego, instead, that's a $25,000 flip. $250 an hour times 100 hours, okay? This is one of the things I want to try to push on new business owners. All you have to say to people who ask you how well are you doing, all you've got to tell them is we're moving in the right direction. You don't have to give them any details. I'm giving you some details today just because when you look at those numbers, I bought that brand new truck because I needed to be proud of the work I was doing, and I wanted all of my college friends to realize, oh God, okay, now, yeah, he must be making money because he's got that really nice new truck. Well, I didn't really care because I would rather drive something around that if I wanted to go off-road, if I wanted to go under, if I wanted to be very efficient and not worry about the scratches on my truck. The one truck I drove, gosh, 310,000 miles, okay, Dodge Dakota, bought it for 310,000 miles, then my odometer quit, okay, then I drove it for another year and a half, and all of my employees, they kept coming, why don't you buy a new truck, you deserve a new truck, why do I deserve a new truck, I'm super comfortable in this truck that now, over 310,000 miles, why do I need to buy a new truck? I knew that there were a lot of customers out there that when I talked to them and they would look out over my truck, their mind wasn't, well, John must be charging way too much money because he has a pretty medium value truck. Time and time again, I just saw business people that were making those stupid decisions because they had a great year or they had a great 2 years and they didn't realize that the drought may be coming. And sure enough, they were putting the sign out, business for sale or closed or whatever. You're not always going to make the great decisions, right? So one of the other rules I had was that if I had, let's just say $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 laying around, okay, that I could experiment with, play with, use. I wasn't one that would say, hey, so-and-so, here's $50,000, help me make some money. One thing I knew about John Schrader was John Schrader wanted to do a whole lot of different things. That's always been who he is. I want to do 1,000 different things in my lifetime, okay? Starting with singing on the table at the age of 5. I want to do 1,000 different things because I find that every time I do something different and fun, it just kind of enlightens me. So I had a rule. Hey, John, would you like to be part owner in a bar? Hey, John, would you like to be part owner in an oil business? Hey, John, would you be interested in starting up a chemical company? Hey, John, looks like you're doing well. Would you be interested? So I kept getting all these people that suddenly they were coming to me and they had ideas. Okay. That bar idea is kind of cool because right now this is right about the time this little series called Cheers. I don't know if you ever heard about it. Woody Harrelson, Cheers, Sam. Everybody wanted to have their own bar. Can I get in to the bar for $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000? Yeah. We've got like seven or eight of us, and we're oil deal. I don't know much about oil, but Jed Clampett, shoot, get oil. Chemical company, well, it kind of goes along with the mowing company and the landscape company. And so I made a decision that I'm not going to be losing $50,000 on an oil company that never sent me a single check because I didn't have any control. I'm not going to lose $50,000 on a bar because no one told me that if you're having a bar and your bartender goes to sleep one night. I felt pretty comfortable as things were getting better and better of, you know what, I will take that $5,000 risk. I may not have the ability to do as much research as I did with the mowing company. And yeah, amazingly, my partnership percentage of success was about 70%. You know, Dave will, he will warn you, and it's not a bad idea. Be very cautious about partnerships. Okay? They don't always go well, but my track record was pretty good. 70% of the partnerships I was in, we made money. And not only did we make money, we made friends. Not only did we make friends, we made memories. Amazing memories. Just because you have that extra money that you think, oh my gosh, I've got this business thing figured out, don't go crazy with it. Don't go crazy with that money because I promise you the drought will come. Self-deprecating moment. Here's a good one. As my business was growing and more employees, and before we really got big into the landscaping, we had the problem of winter. Okay? Winter time was coming, and if you're a maintenance company, a lot of your maintenance customers didn't need you in December, January, and February. Snow, yeah, snow removal. If you want to do the snow removal, and boy, we did a lot of it, that machine I was telling you earlier at $250 an hour. Now I've got 10 of those machines out there going crazy during a snow. Yep, some of them I had to rent, but snow could be white gold, we call it. White gold. But I had an earlier idea that, hey, I know how to keep ourselves really busy in the wintertime. I'd be driving around, I'd see all this smoke coming out of people's, you know, houses through their roof called a chimney. Saw this commercial about this company, chimney sweeping. We will do chimney sweeping in your house. Oh my God. I remember I was up at 1 o'clock in the morning. It was Eureka. I figured out the perfect plan for the wintertime. Called a guy I knew. Hey, what do you know about your swimming business? Hey, John, just so happens, I'm thinking about getting out of my chimney sweeping business. Would you like to buy my chimney sweeping business? I just couldn't believe it. It was like God had answered my prayers. Didn't have to buy it for a lot of money, and to do a little research, I actually went up to Indianapolis and worked for the president of the Chimney Sweep Association of Indiana. I didn't even know there was one. But yeah, I went up there for a couple weeks and worked with him, and he told me the good, the bad, and the ugly, and all that good stuff. Here's what no one told me. No one shared with me that chimney sweeping for residents are done in the fall before winter comes, and in the spring after winter comes. You don't clean many chimneys during the dead of winter. I bought the company thinking that we would be busy December, January, and February, but no one shared that the busy time for chimney sweeping is as busy time for landscaping for the fall and the busy time in the spring. Someone forgot to tell me, probably because I forgot to ask the stupid question. In other words, yeah, it was one of those kind of quick deals that I didn't do enough research. And I just thought, oh my gosh, I have finally figured out the history of the world. Here's the good news. I didn't necessarily take my chimney sweep truck that was full of chimney sweep brushes and drive it into the river because I was so pissed off that I couldn't clean people's chimneys in the wintertime. Took a little time, and after I hired one of the individuals that worked for one of the chimney sweep companies, he informed me that there was more to chimney sweeping than just the chimney. There were industries, manufacturing industries, that had these humongous litho ovens, that these litho ovens would allow us for 9 or 10 weeks in the wintertime, whether we were in Evansville, Indiana, or St. Louis, Missouri, we were able to clean chimneys for about $100,000. It was different, no question. Kind of a tough conversation when, hey, I know you joined us as a mowing and landscape company, but would you be willing, if in the wintertime we don't have a landscape job, would you be willing to scrape some litho ovens? I promise I will pay you more. I will even put your name on a plaque that you were willing to take off your landscape shoes and put on some gloves and a suit suit. My point is that if you want to be successful in business, you better keep your options open. You want to be successful in business and you want to have dreams in the future that are going to be way out there. Keep your options open. The downside is, yeah, that was a perfect example of John didn't always make the right decision the first time. Now, I did not spend $50,000 or $60,000 or $70,000 for that chimney sweep business because I was able to talk him into a dollar figure that I was comfortable with, and he was too. But had I put a whole bunch of ducks in that row, and I really truly thought I was going to be a chimney sweep man of 50,000 homes in Evansville or 10,000 homes in Evansville, wow, that would have been a disappointment. Too often I saw businesses that took these huge leaps because they just saw all of this money, all of this money. 67% of all businesses go out of business within 10 years. That is now the national average that I recently looked up. Back in my day, there was like a crazy number, like 75% of businesses would fail in the first 5 years. Smart people, intelligent people, hardworking people were going out of business because I don't think they were following CPR. I don't think they were realizing that someday the drought was going to come, and when it came, would you have enough money to get through it, one? Or two, were you confident enough to go and say, hey, we're going to have to do something different today than mowing the property? Respecting your employees helps a lot when they say, hey, no problem, we'll do it. So today, one of the top two or three reasons I want you to seriously consider owning your own business, being your own boss, goes back to the original plan was you're going to have better control of your life. Doesn't mean you're going to have that $1 million in the bank to buy that $1 million house in 5 or 6 years. They're out there. Some people can do it. You'll hear some amazing stories. Talked to a guy the other day I was deep sea fishing with down in Florida. And, you know, him and two or three other guys, they threw $10,000 into a business. Many years later, sold it for about $47 million. I didn't ask, did that mean net, gross, whatever? but there are so many stories out there that people decided, I want to be in control of my life every day, all day. Doesn't mean you're not going to have your 80-hour weeks. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have some days where you're going to come home and you're going to say, what in the world was this day telling me? But you know what? Tomorrow, I have the ability, if I want to, I'm just going to go in for an hour, tell everybody what to do, and leave. And go do something that I either need to do for myself, or maybe I'll talk to somebody about opening up a bar. Real quick, the pillow guy. You ever want to read an amazing book about a guy that just never quit? Mike Lindell. Who would have ever thought? I think something like that. You have within yourself the ability to be in control of your life. If you're 75, 80 years old and you're hearing this for the first time and you're wondering what to do, maybe this is a podcast you want to tell your grandchildren about, or your great-grandchildren about. Capitalism is duplication. If I can duplicate myself by providing a service or a product, and I can make some really good money at it, but I'm patient enough to understand that all the days are not going to be good. I'm not going to jump into a business because my heart is saying, I really want to open up a mermaid retail store because it's a $1 billion business and mermaids are killing it. In a few weeks, I'm going to be going deep sea fishing with a man down in Florida, and his first mate is his wife. And his first mate, he says she loves this whole mermaid thing. She's got a $1,300 mermaid tail. Don't get me started on mermaids. Don't get me started that I think manatees were the original mermaid that sailors had been out to sea so long, they saw the manatees. And, you know, we all have to fantasize about something, right? Just because the mermaid business right now is killing it and it's a $1 billion business, don't go out and put a second lien on your house to start that $250,000 mermaid business because you just like that movie Splash. Remember Daryl Hannah, Splash? Be confident in your decisions by doing your research. Work for that company for a year or two. Work for the person that you want to be like someday. And don't be afraid to ask him 100 questions. And if he keeps saying, shut up and I don't want to answer any of your questions, then maybe you need to find someone else out there who has a similar business that you can go work for so you can ask some questions. I probably would not have started a mowing business after college if I didn't understand that in one day pushing $200-$300 lawnmowers around a complex, and yes, sometimes I had to bag some of the grass, I'm pretty sure I would not have started my business had I not realized how darn much money he was making that day. But more importantly, I was spending one day a week with some of the most brilliant businessmen in Evansville. And I had the confidence to go up to them and say, hey, would you like to look at my business plan? Hey, what would you suggest I do with my business plan that's not going to be easy, that maybe I can expand into this and this and this and this? Wow. Those guys were amazing, and guess what? They didn't charge me a dime. In fact, they even fed me and gave me drinks while they told me what they would recommend for me. It wasn't always easy, their plan. But they all kind of said the same thing. John, do you really think we started out in Woodland Condominiums when we started our business? Do you really think when we were 22, 23, 24? No, we weren't there. It's going to take some time. But if you follow these rules, you may just someday be able to do some amazing things. I was not listening to my brother-in-law. I wasn't listening to my uncles or my aunts. I wasn't listening to the people who had never owned a business in their life. And all they thought about business owners was bad, 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 bad. They're crooked. They're wrong. They cheat. They're just bad. No, don't ever own. I didn't choose to listen to them nearly as much as I wanted to listen to a man who was selling double cola and ski to thousands and thousands of people because he had an idea, he had a dream. Who do you listen to? Where are you getting your advice? That Wednesday of $800 was not about the money. It was about the people I was around that I looked up to tremendously and had the courage to say, hey, what do you think of this plan? And then when they told me what to do, I didn't question them. I didn't necessarily like that it was going to take an extra 10 hours of my week to get to that point. But I can promise you this, it made a lot more sense talking to these amazing millionaires because they kind of proved their point. We sometimes want to listen to the person that's going to make our life easier because I just don't want to go there. When Mr. Ramsey and his people say to you, sell that $50,000 truck because it's not helping your bottom line, and you can take that $50,000 and do something a little smarter with it, you have to be the one who decides who you're going to listen to. And it was pretty obvious to me at the age of 23, just coming out of college with $3,000 in the bank, that I had now these men who were in their 50s and 60s and 70s, who could come to me and say, okay, John, you really want to make it? You really want to have a life that someday you can build something in your backyard that not many people can build? You want to do something so well and be able to treat your employees with such respect that you're even helping them start their own business, you better believe it. Let me get my notebook and let me write this down. I am here at this stage in my life, having an incredible amount of fun, still doing things that every day I'm like, this is just great. Kind of the way I planned it when I was 30 and 40 years old. But my calling, if you haven't heard me say it time and time again, those guys in college that said to me, John, you need to be a teacher, a teacher, a teacher. Well, here I am, class. I'm not telling you everything I teach you you're going to like. I'm not telling you every suggestion or every bit of advice you're going to take in. I'm definitely not telling you that this is the easy way to make a lot of money and the easy way to have a dream and follow it. So someday, somebody up there, way up there, way, way up there, John, I gave you a God-given talent of a bit of articulation. Why don't you take that and why don't you tell whoever wants to hear your suggestions on how a guy can start out with a push mower and a pickup truck and a weed eater one day, and then someday he's mowing 15 acres with a lot of synthetic turf and a lot of waterfalls and a lot of koi. And I don't know, maybe there is a mermaid in the lake. People keep asking me. I'm here to teach you the best way I can. I am not Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey has John Schrader's net worth with a few extra zeros on it. And I have such respect for him because that didn't come easy. And he doesn't always tell people what they want to hear. Dave Ramsey tells us what we need to hear. And God, sometimes he just makes me mad that I gotta sell that stinking beautiful truck that I get to drive on Sunday and people do that. But I still owe $48,000 at 12% interest, where I just passed that guy on the highway. He's working on a Saturday and he's got that excavator out there. And I mean, his truck didn't look all that nice, but I wonder what he's making with that excavator. Making any sense? So, I love my excavator. I love my God. I love this country. You know, I love my family. I know I drive them crazy. You know, Tammy said, no, you can't just semi-retire and just do nothing. You've got to do the podcast. You've got to write the books. You've got to tell the stories. Go out there. Make a decision. Am I ready to start being in control of my life? I know it's going to take a lot of time. I know I've got to do a lot of freaking research. I know I got to be brave enough to ask a whole lot of people a whole lot of questions. And then I've got to realize that I have to research their answers. I want so bad to turn on the computer day in and day out, and I want something to pop up that all I have to do is press that button and the cryptocurrencies and the millions of dollars just start coming over my head. And if you find that, send it to me. I'll give you 10% if it happens to me. Trespassing allowed says that sometimes you have to be loud. Sometimes you just have to have that dream and say, I'm going to go after it. But let me listen a little bit more to your podcast, John, so I can try to do it maybe in a way that I don't have too many really bad days when the grass just stopped growing. Have a great day. Great talking with you. Look forward to speaking again on another topic. But now go out there, start dreaming a little bit. It's not a bad thing.